to the Hajj. And some of salatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi wa la kitaba ba'da kitabih wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atih. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر وقال تعالى اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا وقال تعالى لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, last week I spoke on the virtue of salat and I alluded and indicated that inshallah we would also like to speak on other aspects of salat, including the beauty of salat, the importance of jamaat, the importance of khushu and devotion in salat. However, as we are aware now, we have come into the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. And I felt that we will leave that topic for some other time, but we should speak on what is present and what is appropriate and speak about the blessedness of this first 10 days of Zulhijjah. And in this regard, you would have noticed that I have started off by reciting the opening passage of Suratul Fajr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah by taking an oath on the time of Fajr. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ, that the 10 days, Allah ta'ala takes an oath on 10 days. Normally when Allah ta'ala takes an oath on something, it is to show its blessedness. Now what is the 10 days that Allah ta'ala has taken an oath on here? The ulama by and large agree that the 10 days referred to in the second ayat of Suratul Fajr refers to this first 10 days of Zulhijjah. And in Sahih Bukhari there is a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْعَيَّامَ الْعَشَرُ أو كما قال, there is no other days where good deeds are so appreciated by Allah the way good deeds are appreciated by Allah on the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. No other days in the year are good deeds so appreciated the way they are appreciated on the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to go make mention that ibadat on these first 10 nights, it is equivalent to the ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. And keeping fast on those first 9 days is like keeping fast in the month of Ramadan. Not in terms of farziyat, but in terms of blessedness. And of course in Abu Dawud Sharif there is a hadith that one of the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates that it was a normal practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to keep fast on the first 9 days of Zulhijjah. And these are the sunnats, and therefore I felt that it is worthy that we remind ourselves of this. And especially with regard to the 9th day of Zulhijjah, a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that whoever keeps fast on the 9th day of Zulhijjah, in our calendar, inshallah, it will fall next week Thursday. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reward, such a reward of expiation of his minor sins for the past and the coming year. Person keeps fast for 1 day, Allah Ta'ala wipes away his minor sins, major sins, always by and large need repentance for us to get it wiped away by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala says that who keeps fast on the 9th day of Zulhijjah, the day of Arafah, it is hope that Allah will forgive his minor sins for the past and the coming year. So it is important that we by and large keep in mind these particular fazilat and we try and inculcate these good deeds in these blessed days. And of course also amongst the other type of zikr that we are supposed to do, the other zikr that we will also do on Takbir al-Tashriq, the Ayam al-Tashriq, which is from the 9th till the 13th of Zulhijjah. And also we should start it from now. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Then, brothers, also This first 10 days will also see the beginning of Hajj. And while we are not in Hajj, our minds and our thought should be with the Hajjis. And this should be something that is why, and there is a reason why, I think I made mention of it previously, the reason why we don't cut our nails and we don't trim our mustache unless it is necessary or it reaches a stage where it becomes necessary, that it is mustahab that you stay away from that during the first few days leading up to your udhiyah until you don't slaughter your animal. And just keeping in mind how we are supposed to keep. This morning, going through some of the emails that come on a daily basis to you, and one email caught my eye, which speaks about an incident of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh, and I thought I will share that with you. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh, was in Hajj, and while he was sleeping in front of the Kaaba, he saw a dream, where he saw two angels, they were conversing with one another. And the angels, one angel was saying to the other angel, how many people have come for Hajj? And the other angel said, 600,000 people. And he said, has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their Hajj? He said, Allah ta'ala knows whether Allah will accept their Hajj or not. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, I thought in my heart that if 600,000 people have come with such great effort, surely Allah will not allow their efforts to go to waste. But while I'm thinking of this, one of the other angels tell the other angels, there is a shoemaker in Damascus, a cobbler in Damascus by the name of Ali bin Mufiq. Ali bin Mufiq, because of him, Allah Ta'ala has accepted the Hajj of the Hujjaj. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi, say, I got up, I was shocked and surprised that a person, a cobbler, a shoemaker way out in Damascus, what had he done that because of him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the Hajj of the Hajjis? So he said, immediately after Hajj, I was set out to Damascus looking for Ali bin Mufiq. The people are surprised. Abdullah bin Mubarak, the celebrated scholar, the very great alim, looking for a shoemaker. But nevertheless, eventually he comes to the house of the shoemaker Ali bin Mufiq, and he started conversing with him, and he started saying that, have you ever been for Hajj? He said, I have a desire to go for Hajj, but I have not been able to fulfill my Hajj. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh, further persists and said, why have you not been able to go for Hajj? First he says, Allah Ta'ala's will. But when Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh, persists, he then says, I had collected some money for Hajj. One day I went to my neighbor and I was very hungry because I'm also just making ends meet. And I saw him sitting on the tablecloth and he was eating something, expecting him to invite me. He did not do so. So I was disappointed. Thereafter the neighbor calls out to me and said, the reason why I have not invited you for Hajj, for eating, is that I had not been able to eat for many, many days. And today I went out to look for something. I saw a dead animal. I brought that animal and cooked it for my family because they have not eaten for so many days. So it is permissible for me to eat because I'm on the verge of dying of hunger. But I can't invite you because it's not permissible for you to eat. It is only permissible in terms of that degree which is necessary. Therefore, I can't invite you to eat. And that is the reason why I've not invited you. And Ali bin Mufiq said, I felt so ashamed. I went, and that money which I had collected for Hajj, I went and give it to my neighbor. And Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, said, then I realized his sincerity to perform Hajj and the reasons why he could not perform it, Allah Ta'ala liked it so much that because of him, Allah Ta'ala accepted the Hajj of the Hajjis. So we might be here, my dear respected brothers, but our hearts might still be there with the intention that we can also perform it. Maybe we might have reasons not been able to perform it. So therefore, what we are saying, that even on the days of Hajj, our hearts and thoughts must be with the Hujjaj, must be on that place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessedness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat comes. And of course, when we go for and we think of those days, we also think of the origin. We think when the first time when Hajj became farz upon our when Hajj becomes farz upon the Ummah, and we look at the Hajjatul Wida, then we also think of that particular day when we will be doing in this particular week. We will be thinking, and we should be thinking, that when our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Arafah, which on that particular year when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made Hajjatul Wida, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam it was on the day of Friday, and after Zawal, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam set out on his she camel Qaswa and came to the Mount of Arafah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered what is known in our annals as the farewell sermon. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that sermon reminded people about fundamental truths, about morality, about social issues. And among the things that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the people, Ya O people, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum haramun alaykum ka hurmati yawmikum fi shahrikum hadha. O people, your blood, your honor, your wealth is as sacred at this particular valley. Which valley? The valley of Arafah. On this month, which month? The month of Zulhijjah. And on this day, more sacred than this day, which day? The day of Arafah, falling on a Friday. Let us just recall and think about this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that your blood, your honor, and your wealth amongst yourself is as sacred as the sacredness of the valley of Arafah and the city of Makkah, as sacred as the month of Zulhijjah, and as sacred as the day of Arafah and the day of Jummah. Brothers, if someone were to disrespect the masjid, we rightfully feel angry. When someone were to throw the Quran down, we will rightfully feel angry. If someone disrespects the Kaaba and the Baytullah, we will rightfully feel angry. But brothers, why don't we feel angry when people abuse one another? Why don't we feel angry when people, they abuse and they do not show sacredness to the wealth, the honor of one another? And according to the saying that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said on Hijjatul Wida, our honor, the Muslims' honor and the Muslims' wealth is more important and more sacred and more worthy of respect than the Kaaba and the Baytullah. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said on the khutbah of Hajjatul Wida. And among the things he said, فَاتَّقُوا fi nisa, O people, fear Allah with regard to your women folk. They came into your nikah with the words of Allah. Therefore, fear Allah when you deal with them. Don't go out in abusing them. Don't go out in dealing with them in an unjust manner. Don't deal with them in a manner that is not correct, which is unkind. These are the things that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminded us. We're coming November 25th, you will find there will be great amount of headlines in the newspapers that the 16 days of activism for women rights and children's rights. Our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mention of this so many, many years back. If only we can understand and we can show that to the people. Then he also said with regard to interest, he said, I have abolished all interest. And today you and I, we are very clever. We speak about interest very bad. But when it comes to our pockets, then we forget about it. But when it benefits our pocket, then we forget about it. Yes, it is wrong. But when it benefits me, then I'm not prepared to listen. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam abolished interest, what did he do? He said, the first interest I abolish is the interest that is due to my family. Which people are owing my family interest. The first interest I forgive and I abolish, you don't have to pay it, is that which is due to my family. So these are the messages. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also told the people that, O people, on La Fadla li Arabiyin ala Ajamiyin, there is no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab, of the black over the white, or the white over the black. Each and every one stands on an equal footing as human beings. Only the one who has taqwa will surge ahead. And then on that particular day after Asr, then, you know, because of the blessedness of the place, because of the blessedness of the occasion, and because of Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Adina. Today I have completed my favors upon you. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum, I have completed my favors. I have completed deen for you. And O Muslims, till the day of Qiyamah, whoever follows Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let him keep in mind that the religion he follows has been chosen, has been liked for him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the second ayat I read in the khutbah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, it was revealed on the 9th of Zulhijjah after Asr. And the 9th of Zulhijjah will fall in this week. And then of course another aspect, we won't have time to go much into the detail with regard to it. I read a third ayat at the time of the khutbah, just to remind us that there is also another very important ibadat that falls in these particular days, in these coming days, and that is the ibadat of udhiyah. It is known as qurbani, known as udhiyah. You see, and we know that in the past, in the nations of the past, in the traditions of the past, they used to build some sort of building, or they used to name a street in commemorating a great event, a great personality of the past. We see it happening even today. You see the streets named after so-called great people, and you see statues, and you see buildings. Islam has done away with that. Islam had said, when you want to commemorate a person, when you want to commemorate the good deed that he did, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked, and Allah ta'ala was pleased with it, and Allah ta'ala accepted it, then what you do is, you try and do that deed in a small way. You try and do that deed in a small way. So therefore, on this particular day of Udhiyya, what we do, we slaughter an animal. Why do we do it? Nabi Kareem s.a.w. was asked by the Sahaba, مَا هَذِهِ الْأَضَاحِي يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Ya Rasulullah, what is the significance of slaughtering an animal on the day of the 10th of Zulhijjah, or the 11th or the 12th? What is the significance of it? Nabi Kareem s.a.w. said, سُنَّةُ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ It is a sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam set out to slaughter his one and only son with the command of Allah. You slaughter an animal to remember that great deed. So therefore, that is the reason why we do Udhiyya. I like to make mention of it. Udhiyya is not a charity, brothers. Doesn't mean charity is not important. Charity is very important. But Udhiyya is not charity. Qurbani is not charity. It is permissible if you give it to, you know, a far away distant land as a proxy to go to the subcontinent or to the poverty stricken in Africa. Nothing wrong with it in terms of permissibility. But the main thing of Udhiyya is that you slaughter an animal with the intention of bringing Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's quality and his dedication and his loyalty and his submission into your life also. The knife that is used to slaughter the animal, it must go beyond the throat of the animal. It must slaughter our nafs. It must slaughter our desires. The desires which keeps us away from doing the commands of Allah. And therefore someone had said, you know, in some ways, Udhiyya is three things. It is surrender, it is submission, and it is sacrifice. Surrender yourself to Almighty Allah. If Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't surrender himself, he would not have slaughtered wanted to slaughter his son. Therefore, when Allah makes mention of this incident, in the 23rd surah of the Quran, you will see it. Allah says, Falamma aslama. Allah didn't say, when Ibrahim was prepared to slaughter his son. That will be the literal meaning of what he had actually done. But Allah Ta'ala just uses with this word, Falamma aslama. When he submitted his will to the will of Allah. So submission, my dear, submit yourself, surrender yourself. The second thing is submit yourself. And submitting yourself means give up all your objections to the commands of Allah. You obey the commands of Allah, the commands of Allah are not dependent on you regarding it nice or doing it when you have the time. That is not submitting. Doing the commands of Allah is a serious business. You have to submit. You have to change your pattern to do the commands of Allah. Not that I will read Salat when I get time. Or when I find it, when I'm in the mood. When I feel like doing it. That is not submitting. So the first thing is submission, then submitting, and then sacrifice. Brothers, if we have to look at our lives today, we are only endeavoring to get pleasure in our lives. That seems to be the be all and the end all. I must have a nice time. I must chill out. That seems to be everything with regard to our life. Where is that sacrifice to comply with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And therefore, that this qurbani is a powerful symbol of the required human conduct vis-a-vis our relationship with Allah. Qurbani is a very powerful relationship, a powerful symbol of our relationship with Allah. Our relationship that means submit, surrender, sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you put your knife on the animal, that is what you are supposed to get. The meat is secondary. The bride comes secondary. لَيَّنَا لَلَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا Doesn't mean you mustn't invite me for it if you're having it. But be as it may, لَيَّنَا لَلَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِيَّنَا لُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ It is not the meat that reaches Allah. It is not the blood that reaches Allah. is your taqwa that reaches Allah. So three things that you have made mention, which are very appropriate for this. One is the blessedness of these 10 days. Secondly is, let our hearts be attached to the Hajj and some of the aspects with regard to it. The third thing is udhiyah and qurbani. May Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.